The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome back to Ruthless Aggression. 2021 is, Lord, I don't know what to say about 2021 yet. It's not 2020, but we're getting there. I am Pierce, joined by Rob and Chris. Fellas, how are you?
Doing pretty well. As well as one could be doing. It's been kind of a crazy month, but all in all, we're good.
Are you over the bullshit that was the 87-minute press conference yesterday, or do you need some time?
Oh, man. You know, I'm really excited that Chuck Pagano's gone, but is it really going to make a difference when they're keeping everybody else?
It's funny. I got the notification. Chuck Pagano retired. Like, yeah, fucking. And some of me was like, oh God, no. Check Twitter. And yeah, you know, it's such is life. At some point, we got to pull a Chris and just be like, yo, it's not worth it. But he had an advantage. You're not from Atlanta.
It's very true. That is very true.
Yeah. Before we go. I want to send my condolences out to anybody who was touched. Homie Shelton, I believe his name is. He passed away. He was a big member of the wrestling community. You might know folks who always tag his tweets Jihad, which, you know, admittedly, I was like, that's kind of, you don't get tired of that. But that was a long standing thing for him. And he's a dude that touched a lot of people in the wrestling community, big wrestling fan. You just tweeted a couple hours ago, which is, you know, that's the crazy thing is, you know, people are here and then they're gone. And there's no rhyme or reason for it. We're left to kind of wonder why. And while we're wondering why, we sit and remember the good times we had with them while they were here on Earth. And I know a lot of people are, a lot of people are going through it because a lot of people were touched by Shelton, but rest in peace. I want to get that out of the way before we get to talking about actual wrestling. I finally got around to going back and looking back at the predictions for last year.
Oh God.
Spoiler alert, nobody hit on anything. And obviously we did not know last January that a pandemic would come and rock everyone's world. But before we go and give the predictions for this upcoming year, I want to go back and just talk about which ones that we did not get right at all. By the way, in 2019, I had predicted that Zack Ryder would go to AEW. He obviously didn't, but he did in 2020. So I was a year off.
Yeah.
I was a year off on the Zack Ryder prediction.
He had his three matches, and now he's just content doing his wrestling figure podcast.
Which, hey, you know, it's cool, man. When your wife's that hot, hey, let her be the breadwinner for a little bit.
Yeah.
Go play with them figures. There's a video, it's a TikTok going around on a how do you know your boyfriend won't cheat on you? And then girl walks in, and this dude is like, took a jetpack off of a Boba Fett and put it on a Jango Fett, and he's got all these fucking figurines, and I'm like, yeah, they'll do it. That's gonna be me with all my MCU Funko Pops. My wife has to be like, are you okay? Like, it's MCU, there's wrestling. Is this the man that I married? Yes, it is. Yes,
you know,
yes, it is.
We record next to a Bill Goldberg Universal title action figure still in the box from earlier this year. So
whose decision was that to adamantly keep it in the box?
That's mine.
Okay. Are you one of the ones that's like, we got to keep it in the box, we got to protect the condition of it?
So all the ones I have are in the box because someone from Wrestling Twitter was like doing a sale of their collection over the year, like last year, and donating everything to Black Lives Matter. So I bought some of them, and all of his were in the box already. So I just, all the ones I have are in the box.
Thank you, Woke King.
but yeah, I mean, it's on my desk because I have nowhere to put it. But
I'm not being facetious. I'm not. It's like Kyle Hendricks. Okay, so Kyle Hendricks at CubsCon last year. If you guys know Shakia Taylor, baseball writer, she's fucking brilliant. She was at Cubs County last year for the bigs, and Kyle Hendricks is like, you know, pulled us out. Is like, yo, anything that you need, are you okay? She's a black woman writing about baseball. How many black women you know about writing about baseball besides Claire Smith, who is now retired? None. So like, I was like, oh, Kyle Hendricks, like, out of anybody on the Cubs, which, by the way, if you think I hate the Bears, if anybody on that team last year could be a woke king, I'm so glad it was Kyle Hendricks. Yeah. That's a man I want to say, hey, he's a woke king. Anyway, yeah, let's go through his predictions. Let's start with somebody who's not here. Last year we had our homie Troy on the show, and he came through and gave his predictions. His least comfortable prediction was Cena winning number 17. Which did not happen. I mean, I say did not happen. Everything that we are going through did not happen. So obviously Cena did not win 17. He wrestled at WrestleMania and he was out of there. He also said that Becky and Ronda would feud on SmackDown. Not only did Ronda not come back, Becky got pregnant. And then for some reason he said CM Punk would wrestle, which obviously everyone knew that would not happen. Rob, are you ready to go through what you got wrong?
Yeah.
Last year.
No.
Your least confident opinion was Cena would win number 17 at SummerSlam. Mm-hmm. I mean, reason was fine in Boston. So possibly had the world not gone to shit. We don't know. You also said Alexa Bliss would win the women's title and have a long reign. She did not do either of those.
Damn.
And you also said Busy Brock would end 2020 with the WWE Championship. And you also went on to say, quote, he's not going anywhere. His contract is up and he hasn't gone anywhere, technically.
Technically, right. I mean, you know, it's actually really right. He probably hasn't left his house too much, so.
Nah. Saskatoon. Chris, you said that Io Shirai would leave WWE and go to Stardom. She became the NXT Women's Champion. She's still the NXT Women's Champion.
Indeed.
Yeah. You also said that Ruby Riott would win Money in the Bank and cash in on Becky Lynch that same night. Well, Becky lost the title, she gave it up the next night because she was pregnant. And I don't know where Ruby was for like a good 7 months.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, you getting ready to say something?
No, I was just, you know, she did also technically lose to the person who had Money in the Bank.
Yes, so, like, that did happen. Like,
on the right track, close. Wrong person.
Right. By the way, that made my day watching Asuka and The Miz on TMZ Live. Yes. Miz has always had heavy praise for Asuka, but actually getting to see Asuka's face while she's getting that praise and watch it light up, seeing the act. And that was very wholesome. So, yeah. And then, also two people who's cashing the money in the bank. Technically she cashed the money in the bank.
Yeah.
And then you also said that Kofi Kingston would win the Universal Championship and went on to say, quote, I don't think he moves to Raw. Not only did he not win the Universal Championship, he moved to Raw and left a New Day member behind.
Damn.
So, over yonder, I said that John Cena would wrestle at WrestleMania in a singles match against Elias. The whole reasoning being WrestleMania 34, he had the stuff with Elias before the WrestleMania match. WrestleMania 35, he came out and he spoiled Elias' concert with the Basic Thugonomics thing. I felt like it had to be a payoff. And I think Elias was still hurt at that point in time. Was he?
Yeah, he was.
Not even a shot. Cena did the cinematic match with Bray, and it all worked out. I also said Shayna Baszler would win the women's championship. She won a title. It wasn't women's championship. She took home the tag team championships with Nia Jax. So I did correctly predict that she would have the WrestleMania match with Becky, and I thought that was where that it would drop. And depending on when they knew Becky, when Becky knew she was pregnant, which obviously was afterwards, like, wouldn't it be dope in hindsight to know that before the match? That's not possible because she wouldn't have wrestled. But I mean, you know, I think things worked out for Shayna as well as they could have, and we'll see what 2021 holds. I think she's bound to win a title sometime. She's creeping closer to 40. I think 82. So I think she'll be 40 next year. It's got to be time for that, I wonder. So. And then my final most confident prediction, I said Kofi Kingston would win Money in the Bank and cash it in to win a championship. So obviously that was wrong. But in that same vein, there was one thing that I kind of got right. In the whole ramble scheme about the New Day, I did say, quote, "I think it's criminal that Big E isn't in the IC title picture." So end of the year winning the Intercontinental Championship, I would like to say that that is my one win. Because we're searching for them.
It's really impressive, pandemic or not, to go 0-for-12 in prediction.
Right.
Yeah.
We
did a really good job there.
Yeah.
That
is so pretty crazy.
Thanks, Corona. Rob, let's start with you. Predictions for 2021 going from least to most confident.
All right. Least confident, we're actually going to start with AEW. And I think that they're finally going to get tired of Chris Jericho's shit and the fact that he doesn't really bring anything to the show anymore and part ways with him. But, I mean, part of it's because his contract's up at the end of this year anyway. And, I mean, he's getting old. There's not much more they can do with him. But he's also just not someone they can continue to have around from a PR standpoint because is – and I know you shouldn't be like, oh, okay, social media is bad. But it's blatantly bad. He has a pretty popular podcast that's just – also very bad and toxic. It's going to get to a point where it's not worth it for them, especially if they keep growing. And then second most confident, we're going to go with Kevin Owens finally gets another main title run, either on Raw or SmackDown. We've talked a lot about how he's overdue for that, and it really does seem like this is probably his time. He might just have to jump back to Raw to do it. And most confident, I don't think we're going to miss this one this year. Brock Lesnar comes back.
Okay.
I feel you. I think that's definitely a hope dream. But he will come back. Like, he has to. He hasn't made money in a year. Life's got to be getting hard up in Saskatoon. So.
Exactly.
Chris.
All right. We'll start with... least confident here. These are all WWE NXT related for the record. My least confident prediction is that Ronda Rousey does come back. She's been posting a lot of videos of her training. She's been working with Cowboy James Storm. She seems to be getting in peak physical condition. I don't think that she's going to be fighting anytime soon, because that would be kind of a step back for her at this point.
Yeah.
That's passed her by. Yeah, that's definitely passed
that
her
was
by.
Clear in the
yes,
match
that, yes,
she,
exactly. Yeah. That was clear in the second fight against Amanda Nunes. The bet has passed her by. She's only doing one thing. She's trying to get back in the ring. And I think that she does post-vaccine. So once once everything gets back to normal-ish by the end of the year, hopefully, God willing, I expect Ronda to be back in WWE. The middle most confident prediction that I have, Tegan Nox will obviously return at some point this year after she unfortunately tore her ACL once again towards the middle of last year. But I don't think that she's going back to NXT. I think she's going straight to the main roster. I think that this is a situation with Tegan where, and I think it's a situation where she might know it and where NXT might know it. As good of a story as you can do with her in NXT, you have got to cash in. She's got to cash in. She's got to, you know, get that main roster money before God help us all if it happens again to her where she's not able to wrestle anymore. So I think that they gotta do that for her as a, you know, a favor to her to help her, you know, move on with her career, because I think that it would be beneficial for both parties for her to go to either Raw or SmackDown and thrive there, whereas instead she goes to NXT. And yeah, it's good for her. I'm not saying it's not, you know, a bad thing, but like there's an obvious difference. And I think that that's what's going to happen. She's going to go to the main roster and basically skip by NXT, because it also feels like she was probably going to get called up this past year anyway, especially after what happened with the Dakota feud and the way that ended. It seems like something was going to happen there before COVID intervened. So I think that they're going to, you know, circle back to that and be like, okay, let's get you on Raw. Let's get you on, or let's get you on SmackDown, and let's go from there. Most confident, sticking with the women, Toni Storm will be the one to dethrone Io Shirai and win the NXT Women's Championship. And I feel that is going to happen because of the way that they've kind of positioned her. I know that they're positioning Raquel pretty strongly, obviously, but I don't think that she's going to be champion yet, as imposing as she is and as many bodies as she's claimed lately. I think it's going to be Toni. I think they're going to harp on the fact that she's the only one who's actually beaten Io Shirai at this point, which she did, of course, in the Mae Young Classic Final at Evolution in 2018. So she's going to hang that over Io's head. And it's going to continue to be a thorn in Io's side when she beats her, probably take over at WrestleMania weekend. So, yeah, those are my predictions.
That's not bad. That's not bad. I know there was a particular challenge I was hoping that Toni Storm participate in.
There's still time.
It's still time, but, like, time's running out. All the time's running out.
Did you see what Dakota Kai tweeted about that?
No. Is that why everyone's tweeting the picture of Dakota Kai, like looking in the?
Yeah.
Okay. What does she say? Because if she wasn't talking about shit, I'm not gonna go watch it.
No. Yeah. So she like goes and like starts to do it, and then it cuts to Malcolm Bivens, and he's like, "Oh, what do you think you're gonna see here? We're gonna watch Scooby Doo WrestleMania Mysteries," and then he just like turns it. The phone towards his computer where he's got it on Netflix.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, she wouldn't be the person I'm trying to look for, but that's funny. That's funny. My predictions for the year 2021, starting with least comfortable. My least comfortable prediction is I believe that Becky Lynch will recapture a women's championship, specifically the SmackDown Women's Championship. And then later on in the year, at some point, we will have a high-profile feud between Becky Lynch and Ronda Rousey. Singles. We should have got that match 3 years ago in a singles match, nearly 3 years ago at Survivor Series. It did not come to fruition because Becky got her shit cracked. And then it did not happen again in a solo match at WrestleMania because they threw Charlotte in and made it a three-way. think everyone expected it to be this year when Ronda took her year off. But then COVID happened and it wasn't a way she was coming back at that point, which, by the way, she said she wanted to start a family. I don't see a kid. So that's odd if she still wants that. But I think if it does happen, it'd be my least confident opinion. Becky will be champion. I think, you know, the logical thing would be Ronda to beat her. Like, you don't have the finish that happened at WrestleMania happen if you don't plan on Ronda to get the win on the back end. So I think Ronda will win that match. We'll see. If it happens at SummerSlam, if it happens at Survivor Series, we'll see. My second, or I guess the opinion I'm kind of like in the middle about, is I think Undisputed Era finally gets the call up. I think they'll wind up on Monday Night Raw, and I think they'll be faces at the offset of their call up to the Federation. But they've been there since 2017. It's time. After Kyle O'Reilly has his championship match, or, you know, hopefully wins the championship, unless there's going to be like a Triple H, hey, we're kicking you out of the group because you want a title thing, I'm the real guy, Adam Cole, which I don't know if I see it happening because I think there's so much money in the Undisputed Era on the main roster. I think it's time, man. It's time to let the era be great on main WWE television. I know, you know, they get into this habit now when it comes to Johnny and Tommaso. Oh, we don't want these guys to go up. Some of them got to go up. Some of them got to be great. You can't keep holding dudes down like that. So, Undisputed Era, let them go be great. Let them go be great. I'm great on Monday night. My most comfortable prediction of 2020 is that Jay White will be an NXT superstar by WrestleMania weekend. And by the end of the year, he will win NXT championship. I did not like Jay White when he first kind of appeared on the scene heading into the 2018 Wrestle Kingdom. I just thought he was a gaijin that was pretty trash. He had the baby face at the time. He wasn't really doing anything to excite me. And even when he did turn into a member of the Bullet Club after Kenny and all of them left and he partnered up with Gato, that wasn't the thing that really got me. Like, you know, you would think being associated to Bullet Club Japan by proxy makes you cool. Like, nah, that wasn't it. At that point in time, Bullet Club was on a decline both internationally and then also in Japan. But Jay White has this kind of charisma to him, to where you could see him. You could see why Triple H wants that dude in his company. You could see what he could be if Triple H got his hands on him and molded him into a superstar. And I think Jay White could be an interesting project for WWE for the simple fact that I think he's ready-made and he's a dude that they didn't have to groom. When you have that for WWE, guys that you really don't have to walk through shit, you know, the worst is like, hey, you got to know the American cameras, where the hard camera's at. Oh, tough shit. I think he's got it. I'm not saying he's, you know, going to be a future world champion or anything like that. Like, I've said that about dudes like Ricochet, and Ricochet is still trying to climb himself up. But, like, I still love Ricochet, and Ricochet absolutely belongs there. I think Jay White belongs in the Federation. So we'll see that sometime before the end of the year.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think we'll get at least one of these right this year. I got a really good feeling.
At least one.
Yeah.
Can only go up from last year. So, I thought I sent a rundown earlier. I did not send it, so some things I might forget about. Let's talk about MSK, the debut of the artist formerly known as Desmond Wolf and Zachary Wentz. There we go, Desmond Wolf and Zachary Wentz. They debuted on NXT TV in the Dusty Classic. They defeated Jake Atlas and excuse me. They defeated Jake Atlas and Swerve. They looked really good in their debut.
Yeah, they really did. And by the way, Pierce, you meant Desmond Xavier. Desmond Wolfe, of course, was Nigel McGuinness.
I did.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they looked really good. I was, all in all, pretty impressed by the first round matches that happened in the Dusty Classic last night. They were all really strong. And those two had, in particular, had a really, really good debut. I had never honestly seen them, but I'd heard good things through Twitter. I never went to pursue watching anything with Impact because unless it's the women, I don't give a damn about anything with Impact. I'm sorry, but that's just how I operate. I don't think anyone would really blame me in 2021 for thinking that way either. But yeah, they look great. I have no idea what MSK means. Wes Lee also is tremendous wordplay. But yeah, I was really impressed. I know, Rob, you had never seen them either. What were your impressions?
Yeah, I thought they looked pretty good. You know, I think it's a good way to kind of inject some more life into the tag division, which has been kind of up and down over the past year. And, you know, this is a really good way to debut them in the Dusty Classic. And you would assume they're probably going to make a run towards the finals, if not, you know, win the whole thing. They probably they only signed the two of them, right? So they don't have three like they had in TNA.
Correct.
Yeah. So, which is fine. I mean,
yeah, I'm curious to see really where they're going to go with that tournament, because
some interesting possibilities with that. You got Adam Cole and no longer Kyle. Was it Kyle that he's teaming with, and Kyle got quote unquote hurt?
Yeah, no, it's Cole and Roddy.
Roddy got hurt, which is so
because Kyle was hurt with the jaw, so Cole and Roddy are the ones who are teaming up.
Interesting.
Yeah,
look at that, teaming together again to win another Dusty Classic, defending a championship.
Yes,
that's pretty nice. I really don't know the entire bracket, but I know there's some good names on there. I know MSK is going to face either. I'm blanking on who they're facing. It's like Grizzled Young Veterans and somebody else, right?
Yes. Grizzled Young Veterans faced Ever-Rise.
They face a team that I don't care about.
Yeah.
Which
I may be seeing them once on NXT television for like a promo, and it was like, oh, these guys kind of suck. Cool.
Yeah.
They remind me of, it's good to hear, 2005 SmackDown. Yeah. That's a total 2005 SmackDown team.
Yeah, that's pretty fair. But yeah, no, I mean, like I said, I think MSK hopefully find out what it stands for. I mean, at some point, because
it's cool.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah, I mean, it's cool.
It is pretty cool. But yeah, no, I think they're going to be pretty good. And like I said, just injecting more life into the tag division is a very good thing.
And my favorite thing about MSK, their new ring names. Because together, their new ring names are Carter and Lee. Like, that's this very, very, very good by both the new Nash Carter and then I forget Lee, Lee. But
yeah, it's Wes Lee. So it's like, you know.
Wes Lee and Nash Carter. So Wes Lee is Desmond Alexander. Desmond Xavier and that's so cool. That's so cool. We there's two things that we gotta talk about on the main title fronts on both Raw and SmackDown. We had touched on Goldberg getting his title shot last week. That's still happening. But we do know that Drew McIntyre has come down with COVID. He left the video the other day. It seems like he's raring to go. That's all cool. I don't know if I would have a dude coming off of COVID and possibly having long hauler effects fighting a 55-year-old, but whatever.
Yeah, I mean that kind of confirms that it's going to be a short match, I think.
It was always going to be, but yeah.
And, you know,
you need a confirmation that match was going to be 3 minutes and not one.
I don't know specifically how COVID affects you when you are asymptomatic, which he seems to be based on everything he said. I know you can't transmit it, but I don't know if it still affects, you know, your heart and things of that nature the same way like we've seen kind of with college basketball players, among other things. I would hope that, you know, he's got to go through an EKG and all that good stuff before they clear him. I would imagine they have protocols in place. Actually, Kevin Nash said earlier today they do have very good protocols there where they quarantine everyone. And, you know, so that's good considering what we heard originally about how they were just doing temperature checks. But, yeah, you know, best wishes to Drew. You know, get well soon. And it seems like COVID's kind of running through – you know, WWE, NXT, AEW once again from the holidays and a lot of New Year parties and just wrestlers not being the smartest people overall. Mm-hmm. But, you know,
yeah.
Well, you know, the thing that scares me the most is, you know, we just had Brody pass, right? And it's a very vulnerable time for a lot of people. They're all down there in Florida, whether they're in Tampa or Orlando or Jacksonville. And you know that there's been some gatherings. You don't have to see it on social media to know. You know human beings. You know that when a loss happens, the best way to grieve is openly with other people that are also grieving. And I'm worried with the spikes from that, because it was literally right after Christmas. So, like, it's in the middle of Christmas and New Year's, which you know those celebrations are happening. It's going to be interesting to see how that all affects the numbers in both companies and moving forward. Speaking of Brody, before we talk about the SmackDown Universal Championship side of things, I want to talk about the couple things that went up on the network. Number one being the New Day pod that they did on Brody Lee, Luke Harper. Did you guys get a chance to watch that?
I didn't see it in full. I saw some clips of it.
It seems
like, you know, it's nice that they were able to just sit there and just kind of tell their stories for however long they wanted to. And, you know, it just goes back to what we kind of said originally, just, you know, the impact he had on so many people. And I think it's nice that they were able to kind of display that and show that, and, you know, they continue to honor him and have tributes to him, and I think that's good.
Yeah, it was, if you didn't catch it, it was the New Day, Cesaro, Claudio's known him for like 15 plus years, Tyler Breeze, who, you know, went in detail with the win-loss record that he had against Luke Harper. He said he only beat him four times in matches, and they were all multi-man matches, and Harper didn't take the pin. And the third one was Eric Rowan, who just came off the AEW tribute. And both Rowan and Big E were visibly fought because of, you know, the passing of Brody, and you know, it happened so quickly. And to me, it was just that whole pod was a reminder that, you know, like, men specifically can't be afraid to show how much other men matter in your life. And not in the way that you try to fucking pass it off, which is weird, but, you know, we gotta be more open when, you know, we're greatly affected by people or by people that have a great impact on our lives. You know, wrestling sort of just lost somebody who has seemingly had a great impact on people, not even in the wrestling community. I got friends, literally just mentioned Shakia. She knew Shelton, and she's like, yeah, I don't know how to talk about it. So, you know, to me, that's just a reminder, like, hey, especially men, you got to be, you know, more willing to tell the men, like, you know, I love you, bro. You do a lot of things that make my life what it is. And Brody definitely hit a lot of those specific people. And it was hard to watch Big E and Rowan kind of push themselves through that. But it's also great to see them, they take that opportunity, get that opportunity to do it. They did a whole like 3:30 on the best matches in WWE from Luke Harper. So they're finding ways to pay tribute to him, which is awesome. Sucks for the people who are like, oh, why don't they do a tribute show to Luke Harper? Fuckers. Yeah. The other thing, Chris, what was the thing that you learned the other day from the Bailey Stone Cold sessions that you didn't know before? I feel like there's one thing I didn't know beforehand.
I actually have not gotten a chance to watch it. I've mostly
You are not a real fan.
I know. I'm a fake fan. I've been called out for this before.
Fake sheep.
I have seen the clips though. It seems like it was a fun watch. I'll probably watch it tomorrow, finally. But yeah, it did seem like it was a fun listen. What was the one thing that you learned?
I will let you watch and find out for yourself, but
okay.
It was a pretty good pod. It was a pretty good pod. Sorry, I got like a little chicken thing in my mouth. Let's go to SmackDown, where I don't think it's gonna like happen, but Scrap Daddy Adam Pearce has a Universal Championship match at the Royal Rumble. Like, let me say that one more time. Scrap Daddy Adam Pearce. If you've never heard of Scrap Daddy Adam Pearce, you see him every week on TV. He's the bald guy that's telling people what to do on SmackDown. He's an authority figure. But way back when, he was a indie wrestler with ROH and NWA, where he was the booker. He held the 10 pounds of gold. He has an illustrious career in the indies, but he's there in WWE now. And it was weird how it happened, because he did the gauntlet and Shinsuke shined in the gauntlet. And it was obviously a tactic to get Shinsuke over as a hot baby face, which, thank God.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Shinsuke's back. This is good.
God. Thank fucking
about time.
God. And I had no problem with heel Shinsuke. I liked heel Shinsuke's work at certain points, but it had been too long. 2018, man, I was there.
Yeah.
I can't believe it's been that long since the change in Shinsuke Nakamura when he did the whole nutshot thing with AJ. It's been that long. And now, like, here we are 3 years later. He went, 3 years after he wins the Rumble, and like we're finally switching back to him being a hot baby. And I think that's what people really missed out of Shinsuke. I'm not even sure if that's what he's missed out of himself, because he's been chilling for the last couple years. You know, he's been chilling, comfortable in the mid card. Now, I'm not saying, like, hey, he obviously is world championship material, obviously. I'm not saying he's going to win it. But I think it's what people want to see out of Shinsuke. It's what the fans want to see out of him. You know, we want to love him. We want to cheer him. We want to see him, see his extravagance. This is the position that he's meant to be in. I don't know if Adam Pearce has the match. I think it would be cool if he did. I'm not holding him if they wanted to do it. But Shinsuke came out of last Friday, the guy out of that gauntlet. He should be the one to get that match.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. I think it'll probably ultimately be Adam Pearce, you know, giving it to Kevin Owens in his place instead. But, you know, I mean, it's cool. I know, Chris, you're not super into Roman anymore.
Hold on. Which is Hold on a minute. Hold on a minute.
You think they're overcorrecting?
Hold on a minute. No. I didn't say that they were overcorrecting. I said fans were overcorrecting. My issue is not with Roman, but with the fact, with the way that they're using him and using and formatting SmackDown in a way where the first like 15, 20 minutes every week almost are dedicated to him, and then he's at the end of the show for the last like 15, 20 minutes or so, depending on if it's Jey Uso in the main event or, you know, him wrestling a match, and then he stands tall at the end of the show. It's teetering on 2003 Triple H Reign of Terror level, and obviously it just started, so I can't make the comparison entirely so, but after blanking KO completely, it's just you can change it up. But that's a the 15-20 minute promo thing is just a general complaint I have about the shows in general. We don't need to do that. Get your business done in 10 or 15 minutes at max and then just get out of there. You don't need to spend 20 minutes on this stuff, especially when you have a roster who can take up time with wrestling. I could understand it back then when you had the – with what we're watching now with, you know, the Simon Deans and the Charlie Haas hardcore Holly matches or whatever the hell.
Triple H literally did that this week also.
I know. It was stupid.
In 2021.
It was stupid.
We didn't even talk about that.
I know. Yeah. No, it was stupid. We don't need to do that. Like, yeah, I sort of understand with a 3-hour show that you absolutely need to fill time. 2-hour shows, they go by quickly. You use 20 minutes. That's you basically have a quarter of your show done and just dedicated to that. Like it's not necessary. It's not required. That's all. That's my problem. I have no problem with Roman, the wrestler. He's great, but God, like everything does not have to revolve around him every week, is what I'm saying. That's all.
I don't hate that take. I like that's kind of why I've had my days where like I don't care about Roman. I don't care about what's going on with Roman. Like, yeah, Roman's great. This what they're doing with him sometimes can just be insufferable. It's like sometimes they're trying to do too much to get the fans to love him as a heel, where it's like you're fucking up the rest of your roster, man. You already fucked up Jey Uso because he's been a bitch ever since he folded with Roman. I'm never shaking on that. Never going to shake on that. He is a bitch now, doing bitch work like he did with Shinsuke and Adam Pearce the other day.
Yeah, I mean. You know, Jimmy Uso is going to be back soon, and that'll probably save Jay. But, you know, or they'll both be Roman's lackeys. But
that will probably happen. Like, might as well just, you know, make him the bitch brigade. But, I mean, I understand why, you know, you have your issues with Roman. Like, they're valid. They're very valid. And I'm not going to just sit up and blow smoke up a Roman's ass because he's a hot shit, you know? I'm going to tell it like it is, man. Sometimes the shit that they're doing with Roman on SmackDown, I don't give two shits about. Matter of fact, I'll take it a step further. The way motherfuckers be capping and revering Roman Reigns, should be throwing that attention on your WWE champion.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, sure. That's fair.
I don't get when people are just like Drew Max boring, Drew Max this, Drew Max that, da 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 da. That's the guy, man. He's the guy. I'm not like uber in love with Drew Max, but I know a guy when I see one. So yeah, yeah. It is what it is.
Yeah.
What else happened this week that really matters? If nothing, then I can just go back to 2005, where we are coming off of New Year's Revolution. Okay, pay-per-view, given the circumstances of both Eugene and Lita getting hurt. So we have a new women's champion in Trish Stratus. We'll figure out what's happening with the tag titles. We also have a new world heavyweight champion, which is the old world heavyweight champion. 10 times the game is Triple H. But there's some controversy brewing within his own house. We'll let these guys run through the week in 2005.
Indeed. So, you know, as we've been doing lately, we've been talking some sports related stuff in 2005. On January 10th, 2005, Peyton Manning was named the AP MVP. This after his record setting year at quarterback. He received 47 of the 48 first place votes. The other vote going to a guy named Michael Vick.
I'm not going to hit on that.
Dante Culpepper didn't receive any of those votes, but that makes sense, I suppose, because, you know, Vic and the Falcons won their division. And, you know, they went on, of course, to the divisional playoff round, which took place the ensuing weekend. Let's see. Is there anything?
What did the Falcons host in that division? They hosted the Vikings, right?
They hosted the Rams.
Rams. Okay. I was eating up.
Yeah, they hosted the Rams. Let's see if there's anything notable here. Let's see. Oh, well, the Jazz broke a 9-game losing streak off of a buzzer beater from Mehmet Okur.
Oh, God, that was the Mehmet Okur year. Because he had signed that big-ass contract after he left Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
That was Mehmet Okur, AK-47, and then they'll get Darren in a year.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
This was the first Booze year, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Let's
see. That shit. Sorry. Reflex.
Also, Nick Van Exel hit 8 three-pointers.
He's still in the league in 2005?
Still in the league in 2005. Let's see. How many years does he play? Is this his last season? It is not his last season. It is his second-to-last season. He and the Blazers beat the Sixers 109-100 in Philadelphia, and the Lakers made 16 threes to beat the Timberwolves 105-96.
It is wild for Nick Van Exel to play with the Lakers for 6 years or whatever, and the Spurs for three, and not win a ring with.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I was literally just thinking that, like, he played with the Spurs 05-06, and then like they won in 05, and they won in 07, yeah, so he was like he missed out.
Yeah,
he just missed. He just missed. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember when he got traded out of the Lakers too. It was like the summer before 99, so it was like 2 years before they won a championship with the Lakers. And he was just on a really bad Nugget team. Like he had some really bad luck chasing a ring. But damn, Nick Van Exel lasted that long. Wow.
Also,
Pride of Kenosha, Wisconsin, by the way. He went to Trinity Christian. Trinity Valley, excuse me.
I might as well point this out because it did happen on this day, even though he was introduced by the New York Yankees the ensuing day.
Oh, my goodness.
In New York City, Randy Johnson got physical with a cameraman on his way to the hospital.
Forgot about that. I forgot that became like a whole thing. So Randy Johnson assaulted a cameraman.
Yeah, the Daily News headline was "Big Unit Does Get Physical, Pushes Cameraman on Way to the Hospital." The lead was the Big Unit already has his first big meltdown in the Big Apple.
Well, in fairness, you shouldn't bother you someone should when they're going to the hospital.
No, no, you definitely shouldn't. You definitely shouldn't.
But you know,
yeah, that was wow. Like I think we talked about it, like. We mentioned it in passing, like Randy Johnson being on the Yankees is like one of those things that you remember happening, but you're like, nah, that never happened. It didn't even exist. It was 2 years he was on the Yankees, and it was like,
yeah,
you could really act like it never existed, and like, yeah,
yeah, no.
Did he have any like memorable moments as a Yankee? He never made the playoffs.
No, they made the playoffs. He wasn't really.
They lost to the Angels.
Yeah, they lost to the Angels, and then they lost to the Tigers.
They made the playoffs in 06?
Yeah, because that was the Tigers one was the one where A-Rod really, really sucked in the postseason.
I mean, ho hum.
Yeah, that's a lot.
And Josh Lewin had made like a. Because he was calling a game on Fox.
Actually, no. Yeah, I do remember 2006, but I only remember 2006 because of Corey Lytle.
Oh, yeah.
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 Because he had made some sort of comment about the shattered bat on the ground for that A-Rod had left on a broken bat or whatever. It was like one pointed remark by Josh Lewin that I remember about A-Rod's performance against the Tigers in the ALDS. But yeah, no, they did make the playoffs in 06. But I did want to make note of that. Also, just real quick, the Billboard Hot 100 for that week, number one once again was Let Me Love You by Mario.
Yeah, that was a classic.
Going through 1 through 5, 2 was 1-2-Step.
There you go.
3 was Drop It Like It's Hot.
Another classic.
4, Lovers and Friends.
Another classic.
And 5 was Soldier by Destiny's Child.
Oh my God. That's the Billboard Hot 100, not the Hip Hop Hot 100,
yeah,
right?
Yes, it's the Billboard Hot 100.
Wow.
Oh my God. Yeah. That was a
back to back to back to back to back banger. That was a great fucking era for music. Like, and this was not hip hop. Yesterday, I just went back and just listened to a shit ton of like alternative pop punk emo bullshit from like 04 through like 08, 09 ish.
Mm-hmm.
Like, music was really fucking good back in this year. Like, yeah, some good shit in 2005. I guess I said last week. Yeah, Fall Out Boy coming up, their first album.
Yep.
Sierra was just like on fucking point. You can get late registration back in August. Mm-hmm. The Massacre comes out in a couple weeks, and then the documentary comes out. Oh my God, Purple Haze is this summer. Like, mm-hmm, my goodness. It's a wonderful year.
Yeah. So also the biggest airplay gain was How We Do, the game featuring 50 Cent. The Hotshot debut.
Airplay.
Yeah.
Why don't I remember Airplay?
The Hotshot debut was Ordinary People by John Legend.
Oh, that's a chart. Never mind.
Sunday Morning by Maroon 5 made its debut at 75th.
It's a little bit too late. I guess they were still dropping singles off of that album.
Yep. Yeah. Also, Let's Get Blown by Snoop Dogg also at 76 debuted as well. And let's see, another one, Ghetto by Akon also made its debut. So yeah, Akon. That was the week of January 8th. So this is starting back on Saturday.
It's pretty cool. No pretty problem. Cool. All right, let's talk about Raw. I skipped a lot of this shit, but like, you already knew what was gonna happen. Like, literally, when they said Royal Rumble qualifying matches, I'm like, oh, that guy's winning. Skip.
Well, Raw was actually pretty good. It's SmackDown.
It was decent.
That we're gonna.
Of course, SmackDown's terrible. It's always terrible.
I liked SmackDown. I enjoyed the story arc.
All right, so we are in Sunrise, Florida, the Office Depot Center, which JR calls the Home Depot Center.
That was Fort Lauderdale.
I think it's a Rosemont situation where it's technically
Sunrise.
Yeah, because that's where the Panthers. Yeah, that's where Panthers play. Yeah,
still play. I didn't know if like what was Sunrise and what's Fort Lauderdale. I know Fort Lauderdale is north of Miami, but
yeah,
it's definitely a Chicago Rosemont type of thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Triple H is here to start the show, and he is the champion again.
He sure is.
Flair comes with him, but not Batista. Triple H says everyone can make all the excuses they want. It could be politics, favoritism, whatever. But the fact is, he's the champion again because he's the best in the world. No one in the world can do what he can do, which kind of seems like they were setting it up for someone to come out. And
It seemed like it.
A lot of people thought when he lost to Benoit, it was the beginning of the end for Triple H. But look at him now. Flair says the fans should respect him, but Triple H says he doesn't care if they do or not. And then Triple H calls out Batista and says he's the ultimate team player. But Randy Orton also comes out, and Triple H says Randy has no business out there because celebrations are for winners and Randy is a loser. Randy says to roll the footage, Triple H could have stopped Randy from pinning Batista, and Triple H didn't do it. And Triple H says by that point he'd been in the match for 45 minutes. It lasted 35 minutes, and he came in third, so he wasn't. Randy doesn't buy it. Triple H screwed Batista, and he knows it. Randy warns Batista that when the time is right, Triple H will turn on him. Then Randy demands a rematch for the title. Eric Bischoff comes out and says Randy does have a point, but Batista also deserves a title shot, and the two of them will have a number one contenders match in the main event.
I like Bischoff once again tweening here.
Yeah, no, that's good.
And how he had pointed out that he did lose.
Yeah.
And that means that the record was wiped clean. It's a good little loophole to follow through on. Yep. And it makes sense, too. I mean, he did. It was as long as he's a champion, he did lose. So,
And then we get a kind of commercial thing that Raw and SmackDown will be going to Japan in a couple weeks.
Announced by one Shane McMahon.
Yeah.
This is his first appearance on TV in a minute.
Yeah, as an executive.
And, yeah.
I also noticed they had Shawn Michaels and Trish Stratus there, and it was Friday. So they had him go from Tokyo to Puerto Rico in like 2 days. Yeah.
Brutal.
We get into our first match, Shelton Benjamin against Maven in a Royal Rumble qualifying match. And, I mean.
See, like, it's not to be totally dismissive of the idea, but I always see people say, oh, they should bring back Royal Rumble qualifying matches. Should they? Should they really?
Well, I looked ahead at the news site. I think we have 3 at house shows in the next week, and it makes sense.
It makes sense.
Some of them at house shows.
Yeah,
like,
but like...
I get Shelton, you know, having his on TV, and then, you know, Edge has his on TV a little bit later, but...
Yeah, but like, you get these matches where you know what's going to happen. It's very telegraphed. Maven's not beating Shelton Benjamin to get into the Royal Rumble.
Every loss to him 2 times, you know, 24 hours ago.
Yeah, and yeah. If you have a qualifier with like 2... high profile people, and then one person's out of the Rumble, it's like, oh, that doesn't work. What they do now is totally fine, where they just declare for the Rumble. That works for me. It's how it used to be, and you don't need qualifying matches.
Yeah.
I don't care if you need to fill time. You when you have matches like this, the result is already telegraphed, so I don't care about stakes, because I know Maven's not beating Shelton.
Well, and the Royal Rumble already has enough stakes as it is.
Exactly. You know? So you don't need to fill everything with that. Sometimes you can just declare and have that be it. It's not when people say they want qualifying matches, it feels like I want wrestling to be like how it was when I was a kid. Yeah. It doesn't mean it was a good. This doesn't mean it was a good idea.
No.
Like, I get it from the perspective of they needed to do this on TV and they need to keep it going. But for drama purposes, no drama involved at all whatsoever.
Yeah.
So no, they should not do qualifying matches in this day and age, because first of all, people would complain anyway.
Wow.
Second of all, it's a net negative for everybody, because then one high profile person could lose and then be out of it. And then what do? Then people complain that they lost while the other person won.
Yeah.
It's not necessary.
Up next, we get Muhammad Hassan against the Hurricane. Hassan and Daivari taunt JR and King on the way to the ring. Muhammad Hassan talks about how he single-handedly dealt a blow to the biased American media by beating Jerry Lawler. That's not ideal.
Who are we again here?
Yeah. No, I, you know.
Who are we again here?
And then Hassan beats Hurricane with the skull-crushing finale.
Yes, he does.
We get our first WrestleMania recall moment.
Mm-hmm.
With Pete Rose getting beat up by Kane in Boston.
Great moment.
It really is.
Only superseded by the San Diego Chicken.
Credit to Pete Rose, man. He went all out for them.
He did. He did.
You know?
City of losers.
Triple H goes to talk to Batista, says he has full support against Randy Orton. Triple H would be honored to stand in the same ring as someone from Evolution to defend the title, and Batista deserves it. Batista says eventually we all get what we deserve.
For baiting.
Yeah.
Raw tonight is brought to you by Burger King, Mercenaries Playground of Destruction. Great game.
Yes.
And Edge Advanced Shaving Gel. Speaking of Edge takes on Rhino in a Royal Rumble qualifying match. Edge gets a submission victory with the Educator. It's the Educator. Yeah.
It's not a good move.
It's not a great move.
He shouldn't do it.
We're only a few months away from Rhino throwing a flower pot.
Yeah, Rhino's about to be fired. And then come back and like...
I really should laugh because like he probably needed some kind of help.
Yeah.
But the image of him throwing a flower pot is just really funny to me. I don't know why.
We'll get into that in April.
Indeed. So Edge gets on the mic afterwards and said that he doesn't care about qualifying for the Royal Rumble because what he wants is Shawn Michaels, who screwed him over again last night. Edge waited in the ring throughout the entire commercial break and said that he knew Michaels wouldn't come out without the cameras on because he's the most selfish person in the industry. You know what, Edge? You might have had a point a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Michaels finally came out and said that Edge complains way too much, and Michaels said that he used to be the same way. Self-awareness. Mm-hmm. He has advice for Edge, however, and that's to stop talking and start doing. Go win the Rumble. Go to WrestleMania and earn yourself a world championship. And that leads to Edge attacking Michaels, and they brawl for a while before the refs separate them. Effective segment here. I can clearly see where this is going. I think my only wish, even though I know if both things obviously work out for them, is that this feud was, I know it's been going on for a bit, but they're only going to get like 1 or 2 matches out of it.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate because these two work really well with each other.
Oh yeah. No, I agree.
And also, it needs to, not that we don't already know this, but Edge is killing this role right now.
Yeah.
Killing it.
Absolutely.
He's great. We come back from the break, and Edge and Michaels.
He's coming with a Tony the Tiger, just with less enthusiasm.
Yeah, you know, I like Edge. Edge is cool. We come back from the break, and they're still brawling. They ended up outside, and then they finally got separated again. Simon Dean says that Florida is full of fat people. You know,
it's not wrong.
He's giving away some of his supplements to one very lucky superstar in the back. This superstar is over 300 pounds and known to wear a mask. He's talking about Rosie, but then Kane comes out. And Kane starts beating him up and goes for choke slam, but Snitsky comes in and hits Kane with a chair and beats him up with Simon's weight belt. So we're going to keep that going.
Yep.
Because, again, like I told you, the plan probably still at this point was Kane and Undertaker against Snitsky and Heinrich at WrestleMania. Yeah.
God.
Ric Flair says that he's worried Batista's leaning towards Orton. They need to all be a cohesive unit. Triple H says that Rick should tell Batista that his record against Orton hasn't been very good and reinforce that, you know, he needs to get a win tonight. Remind him of that. We get Chris Benoit and Chris Jericho against Christian and Tyson Tomko. And, I mean, it was fine. Jericho got Tomko in the Walls of Jericho. Benoit put Christian in the crossface, and they both tapped at the same time. Flair says Batista did not care for Flair's way of trying to motivate him. Well, so,
yeah,
he's just mad now. Then we get a vignette for Chris Masters, who they do a really good job putting over as a guy who's a big deal.
Yeah. And, you know, I actually saw him at Madison Square Garden like 4 or 5 days after his debut on Raw. Mm-hmm. I forgot who he faced at that house show, but it was a really fun house show. But yeah, I did see his first live event.
It's clear that the ultimate goal for him is like Lex Luger.
Yeah, when he immediately comes
in.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Absolutely.
It doesn't get there.
No, it doesn't.
But, you know. Next week, we got Chris Benoit against Chris Jericho in Toronto in the spirit of competition. They were tag team partners tonight, but they are going to wrestle each other next week.
Yeah, it seems like it is. It's really interesting. Because I don't know when Money in the Bank was created, but they did a lot of seed planting for a Jericho-Benoit feud here.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I wonder, you know, if things don't go a certain way, especially with the Snitsky and Heidenreich versus Taker and Kane thing, if that winds up branching off to that.
We go for our main event, Randy Orton against Batista in a number one contenders match. Flair and Triple H come to ringside. Orton eventually gets the advantage, and Ric Flair distracts Earl Hebner. It works because Earl Hebner is bad at his job. Batista hits a spine buster, and Triple H gives him the chair, but Batista says he doesn't need Triple H's help or the chair. And then Orton shoves Batista into Triple H and gets the pin. So it's going to be Randy Orton against Triple H at the Royal Rumble.
Sure. I mean, this is going to be the last Triple H and Orton match for at least 2.5 years.
Yeah.
So I'm fine with that.
Yeah. No, it's fine.
Okay. Oops. Yeah.
Are you more?
Midweek stuff. Midweek NBA stuff. On January 12th, there were quite a few things that happened that were notable. Kevin Garnett nearly got a triple-double. He had 19 points, 25 rebounds, and 8 assists, so he came 2 assists away from a triple-double, but the T-Wolves still lost to the Magic 87-80. It's an ugly-ass score. Good Lord, mid-2000s basketball. Outscoring the Sixers 36-17 in the fourth quarter, the Chicago Bulls routed them 110-78 in Chicago, and after an 0-9 start, they've now won 5 in a row and are in playoff contention.
Watch out for
them. Only the Bulls! Only the Bulls! They were sharing videos the other day on the main Twitter, and I was so glad to see a video of my man's Andres Nocioni. I truly feel like Noch is the forgotten Bull from that era. Because he was a playoff gamer. Like, whenever the playoffs came around, Noach turned into big time. We loved him for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely.
Okay. All right, I have, let's see, I have one or two more things here. The Jazz beat the Suns 115-108 to end the Suns' seven-game win streak. They got 54 points and 24 rebounds out of Mehmet Okur, Rajah Bell, and Raul Lopez. And their bench outscored the Suns' bench 67-6.
God, that's crazy.
Good Lord.
That's crazy. As this is the Steve Nash first year.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, it's arguable that Steve Nash shouldn't have won either of them MVPs, but that's another for another day. Yeah, that's crazy. That's insane.
Yeah.
It's
really insane. Let's see. On January 14th, so this is skipping Thursday, but still in the same week, Grant Hill played his first game back in Detroit, and the Detroit Pistons defeated Hill's Orlando Magic 101-94. Grant Hill scored 17 points. Let's see.
Grant Hill had a resurgence, and he was an all-star starter this year too.
Yeah.
It was really good to see Grant Hill healthy, because he had not been healthy at all since he signed with Orlando. And this was the first T-Mac here in Orlando, so it felt like you were watching Orlando kind of, you know, really become what they. Or sorry, that's the first T-Mac last year. He was in Houston. This would have been the first Dwight year. My apologies. The first Dwight year. So the Dwight, Steve Francis, and you were like, oh, Orlando might become something. They did it without Grant and without Steve Francis, but okay.
Yeah, so I got three more here. All right, so the Hornets beat the Trailblazers 112-106. Both teams combined for an at-the-time record of 23 three-pointers in the first half, and yet they only both scored 106 points.
I guarantee you Klay Thompson beat that by himself.
Probably. Okay, and in the Timberwolves-Nuggets game, there was a brawl between Nene and Michael Olowokandi. Both were ejected.
That sounds like the most bust-worthy fight in NBA history. And Nene still playing?
He might. I feel like he might be.
I wouldn't be shocked if Nene was still playing.
He's not. Surprisingly, he's not.
That is surprising.
I really thought he... Because I know he was playing like this past year. I guess it was his last
year. Yeah, he was on Houston. I think he was on Washington Houston, for a little bit. Yeah.
All right. And last one here, sticking with basketball but going to college, USC announced their choice for their new head men's basketball coach, Tim Floyd.
God.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Oh, you know, sorry. He did. What am I talking about? He did get to coach there. Yeah, that was it wasn't a bad hire at the time. It just, you know, you didn't know if there was going to be some corruption there.
Yeah, he gave OJ Mayo a bunch of money.
Yeah.
That all came out at the same time, OJ and Reggie, right? That wasn't in waves. That was at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, because that was like a double whammy for USC. Like, not only do you lose they lost the national championship, correct?
Yeah,
I can't remember if they did.
I know
they
Reggie did. Lost his Heisman.
Did they lose both of them?
No, it was only the 04, the 04, 05 one. They still have the AP poll one that they won in 03-04.
That's still wild to remember that got vacated, because I still feel like USC is scoring on Oklahoma right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that was a double whammy for USC. But Tim Floyd, wow. Has he coached after that?
He went to UTEP for a bit.
Wow. Okay. Interesting. Okay.
All right. Let's get to SmackDown here from the, what's it called, St. Pete.
Before we get to SmackDown, is Tim Floyd the best coach to go from Iowa State to the Bulls?
No, I mean, they won like 11 games that year. Like, at least Hoiberg, didn't they make the playoffs with him?
They did.
Yeah. So
in spite of him.
Yeah. So, you know, that was good. Oh, man. Yeah, SmackDown from the, what is this building called? St. Pete Times
Forum. Yeah, the St. Pete Times Forum at the time. Which, it was called that.
It's not called that anymore.
No, but, Amalie Arena now.
Yes. Kurt Angle opens the show backstage and says that he would like to apologize to Joe Giovanni. And Big Show says that JBL should also do that, so he'll be looking forward to that later. Then we get our opening match. Rey Mysterio and Rob Van Dam against Doug and Danny Basham against Eddie Guerrero and Booker T against Luther Reigns and Mark Jindrak. And Rob Van Dam's knee is messed up, but still working in this match. You know, doing what he can do here.
Cole made a very weird and random ass remark on his way down to the ring, though.
Yeah, Michael Cole's like, oh, Rob Van Dam's knee is messed up, but he's still competing, unlike NFL players who are missing playoff games with knee injuries. And NFL.com has the injury report still up. There's no one specific that he's talking about. He's just going off for no reason. It was weird. I don't get it.
That was very Republican of Michael of Michael Cole.
Bashams and Reigns and Jindrak are brawling, and while Reigns and one of the Bashams are tied up, Ray hits Jindrak with a 619, and Eddie pulls the other one on top of him for the pin. Which, you know, it helps both of them to eliminate one of the teams, so I get it. So Reigns and Jindrak are eliminated. Ray hits the springboard head scissors a little bit later and pins Eddie for the third straight week, which I make a point to discuss.
Mm-hmm.
Booker and Eddie are eliminated. The referee gets distracted, and Doug Basham hits RVD in the knee with the stairs, and he gets stretchered out, so Ray's all alone and can't overcome the odds. So the Bashams are tag champions again? I think they won once last year.
Yeah, I think they were tag champs once last year.
Sounds right. So JBL's cabinet has some of the gold now. I was going to say 2/3, but there's also a cruiserweight belt. But
yeah. 50% of the championships on SmackDown.
Josh Matthews asks Kenzo Suzuki what it would mean for him to win the U.S. title. Hiroko says that Kenzo loves America and John Cena is what's wrong with America.
JBL and Orlando and Amy are walking through the back. Big Show cut them off. He said that they need to apologize to Joy. JBL says that's fine and they will. And then he apologizes. However, Big Show doesn't believe him and says that Amy needs to apologize too. And Amy said that Joy liked what happened because she got to be the center of attention. Joy craves that. That led to a fight between the two ladies.
Yeah. They're having a match later.
But
first, it's the Kurt Angle Invitational.
This is a good one.
Featuring local talent Roderick Strong. And you know what? They let him get some offense in.
Yeah, well, no, he gets one roll up.
Well, if you watch a video that he, one of his shoot interviews, he get one roll up.
Yeah, because he said that, said they were talking in the back. Roddy was like just like stretching because he didn't really even know how to like stretch at that time. He was getting really into it, and Kurt was just like dipping and like all these other stretches and warming up and whatnot. And he was like, "You get one roll up." And he was like, "Did he say he could like beat him up or something?" I forgot what the line
yeah,
was.
Yes, so I don't know, because Roddy starts it by slapping him, and you could see Angle's just beating the shit out of him. And then, you know, he eventually does get his roll up and Angle kicks out at two. And then,
I was like waiting for that roll up.
Yeah.
And then it happened. I'm like, oh, there it is.
But, yeah, pretty cool to see Roddy Strong.
Very cool. Very cool to see Roddy. Of course, he's not actually from Tampa, but that's okay.
He's from Wisconsin.
Yeah. Eau Claire.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Mm. WrestleMania Recall. Roddy Piper attacks Morton Downey with a fire extinguisher. Come a real long way that Morton Downey was the biggest celebrity they could get for WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah. Well, it wasn't the – I wouldn't say it was the biggest. Probably wasn't even the
biggest that year. That's probably when they had, like, Regis or whatever.
Because that was WrestleMania 2, right?
I think it was 1989.
Oh, no. So it was WrestleMania 4.
Yeah.
That was – oh, yeah. That was in – that was
the tournament.
Yeah, that was the one in the tournament.
So that might have been the only
celebrity they had. They could have gotten somebody.
With the exception of the owner of the building sitting ringside. But, you know. Yeah, John Cena against Kenzo Suzuki for the United States Championship, and Cena comes out in a Tampa Bay Buccaneers Doug Williams jersey.
His attire in SmackDown versus Raw 2006 as well.
Yeah, it is.
That is accurate.
Cena wins in 2 minutes. You know, they're just heating him up, I guess. Obviously, we know what's coming.
Yep. Because I'm trying to think. Because he had the Doug Williams jersey, you know, in SmackDown versus Raw 06. Didn't he have the, was it a Gastineau jersey?
Oh, yeah.
In SmackDown versus Raw? I know, yeah. It was a green jersey. I'm pretty sure it was a Gastineau one. And he had the Julius Erving one.
Yes.
In Here Comes the Pain.
Yeah.
There goes my memory again.
Amy Weber is complaining to JBL about having to wrestle Joy, but Joy is excited about wrestling Amy Weber. But it's time for the match, and Joy doesn't come out. So Amy wins by forfeit.
Yes.
And Teddy Long is concerned because he has a kidnapping on his hands. Sends Charles Robinson to go find her. Carlito says this is another reason that Teddy Long shouldn't be GM. Tori says she saw Orlando Jordan near Joy. Heidenreich comes in, says he doesn't want to do a casket match, which really not the time for his nonsense. Teddy Long says he has to deal with it. He had his chance last week. JBL comes in and Teddy Long questions him, but JBL gives an alibi.
He does. We do Funaki versus Nunzio for the Cruiserweight Championship. This was what it was. Funaki retained the title. You know, just good filler content for the show. They got them on TV. It was what it was. Then Orlando Jordan told Teddy Long that he told Joy that she was going to lose and then split paths with her. Big Show said that if Orlando had anything to do with it, he'll break all of his bones. He like came in and like, charged at him.
Yeah.
Which was really funny.
Yeah. JBL is honored in the ring by the Florida Agriculture Group, which isn't a real group. I'm not going to go further with this one.
Nope.
With their Man of the Year award, there's a celebration. Kurt Angle comes out and steals the keys to JBL's limo and Joy's in the trunk. Whoa.
Yeah, because Angle was pressuring that man.
Yeah.
He was pressuring him because he didn't believe him. And, you know, he suddenly heard something in the trunk. So he told the driver to pop it, but he was too slow, so he took it. And Joy was in there.
Yeah. JBL comes out, or Big Show comes out and beats up the cabinet. JBL escapes. We go backstage and discover that Kurt Angle planned this whole thing. And he put Joy in the trunk and set JBL up as payback for last week. Which, I mean, you get payback, but then you get Big Show mad at you. So, you know.
Well, because the idea is, you know, the JBL last week saw Big Show weaken Kurt Angle and his buddies. So Kurt thought, okay, let's see Big Show do that to all of them. And then, you know, not to probably get, because I don't remember how it happens, but not to probably give it away. Then, you know, Big Show, he's going to realize, you know, that they were in on him. He's going to try and get all of them, but the numbers game is going to be eventually too much for him. So who gets weakened the most? Big Show.
Yeah. Yeah, that was SmackDown.
I thought this was better. I thought this was a good show. I mean, the match.
Don't say it's better than Raw.
I liked both
for what it was. This was different. SmackDown was different, and that's good. They had Heidenreich to a minimum, which is fine by me. He showed up one time on this program. That's good. That's a net positive. They did something different. They involved a lot of people with it. And I didn't really have a problem with it. You got a great tag team. Very good tag team opener. You put the tag team division on display. You had a title change. You know, you advanced the Ray and Eddie stuff a little bit more subtly at that. I thought it was good. Like I said, it was something different. It was a different take on an episode of SmackDown to do it this way compared to how they've been doing it in the past. Because, I mean, Jesus Christ, like 3 months ago, we were sitting through, like, crappy Charlie Haas matches or whatever with the stupid Miss Jackie and Dawn Marie storyline. Now we have this. I approve.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah. Who's our King of the Ring for this week?
Probably Randy Orton.
Yeah.
Getting himself another title match.
Hey! Yeah. That could work out. Give it some Randy Orton. I also liked what Randy did this week. I thought that was a good little stopgap angle given all the circumstances.
Agree.
Yeah. I mean, it would have been nice if him and Triple H had like an actual match. Well, would it have been?
They would know they weren't going to do that on Raw.
Yeah. They also haven't had a good match since like ever.
The last maybe? Man standing match at No Mercy 07.
Yeah.
Which was pretty fantastic.
But they did what they wanted. They did pop a number having Triple H be there. So
they
it
did.
Worked. I mean,
during the national title game too.
Yeah.
Pretty nice. You can follow me on Twitter at Cameron Santo. Rob's at RobinAndNeil31. Chris is at Chris M. Novak. We will be getting together very soon to do the preseason top 25, and then you will get a first month January review sometime in February. So be on the lookout for that. That will be on our Patreon, patreon.com/barberschairnet, where you get everything for $10, including the new summer sessions episode. I hate to say it, Pav made a point about the busted challenges. So $5 or $10 will get you that actually. New Ball Don't Lie as well at the same time as this, where they got a lot to talk about what's going on in Brooklyn with James Harden and Kyrie being nowhere to be found. Lord, give Kevin Durant some help, please. We previewed divisional round of the playoffs on 2 Minute Drill, and then you also get a bonus episode of 79th and Hallis where the guys vent about that awful fucking press conference where my intelligence was insulted for 87 minutes and I was gaslit. So if you need that to get through the pain of knowing that for the next year, the Chicago Bears are not going to matter in the NFL, at least next year, then go ahead and listen to that. That will be it for us. Take care. We'll see you next week where I think we'll be 2 weeks away, where we are 2 weeks away right now from the Royal Rumble.
Yes.
We'll keep on keeping on, trekking to the last big show before WrestleMania. We got a couple pay-per-views, but I mean, let's be honest. Once the Rumble's done, we're in full gear towards WrestleMania. And we will get a little bit closer to the Rumble, talk about some possibilities of who might win the Rumble. I love this season. It's really nice. We'll continue with you guys on Ruthless Aggression next week. For Chris and Robin Pierce, we'll see you guys later.